So those ideas that are at the back of the deck that seem crazy suddenly become the ideas that are the front of your deck.
Welcome back to another episode of Black T-Shirts. We're excited to have today's guest on the show because she works for one of the biggest platforms for creativity in the world. A platform that Scott Galloway said has more of our children's attention than any other company on earth. That company is Roblox, and Sue Anderson is their global head of creative. Sue grew up in South Africa, where she worked at the iconic agency TWA Hunt Lascaris. She then moved to the States, working at Wieden Kennedy, and then going in-house at Facebook, where she headed up creative. We had an insightful chat with Sue, and I'm happy to share it with you now. Let's get into it. Welcome, Sue. Are you wearing a black T-shirt?
You know, I took a listen to this podcast before agreeing to do it, like a good, sensible human being. And once I listened to it, I agreed, of course, I would do it. And then this morning, which is several months later, I found myself opening my wardrobe, determined that I was going to wear something else, but was just constantly drawn back to the black T-shirt.
And is it part of your repertoire as a creative person? Do you wear a black T-shirt very often?
I would say I just wear black generally quite often. There's not many black T-shirts, but black is definitely a signature uniform.
And it's probably just worth mentioning where you're calling from. You are in the most beautiful looking room I've ever seen, with a whole lot of LPs beautifully and perfectly stacked behind you in an all-white room. Are you design-driven in everything you do, in every facet of your life?
Well, I am not in my own room, in full disclosure. I'm calling from a room that my husband normally works from, and he doubles up in the music world as well as being a creative as well. So the short answer is I'm not in my own room. I'm calling from LA and Topanga, and yes, design and anything that is beautiful matters enormously to me. I think your environment significantly changes how you feel all of the time. So it's important you're in beautiful environments.
And speaking of beautiful environments, you've got a bit of a, that was a terrible segue, but go with me. You've got a bit of an accent. You're South African. Probably the most creative place I've ever spent a year or two was in South Africa in Cape Town. It oozes creativity. Did you feel that as a kid? And or do you look back now thinking, God, that was a crazily creative place?
I mean, without a doubt, I feel like what happens in South Africa is it's such a complicated country, and there's so many things that are happening there all of the time that force creativity in so many different ways. You know, when I started out in advertising, being in an environment where we didn't have tons of money, there were a handful of decent directors. We certainly couldn't, we couldn't have amazing post-production. And so we had to just think of really great ideas. So I feel like there's an enormous, there's a huge amount about the country that forces creativity, because there are limitations and there are circumstances that I think make creative people find their way through and find interesting things.
Yeah, it's that interesting thing that sometimes not having big budgets and not having sort of, you know, the access you have now in America does lead to creativity. I worked in New Zealand for a while and it's similar there. But there also seems to be something sort of in the culture of South Africa that also leads to innovation, inventiveness. I mean, Elon Musk is the obvious, you know, famous, very innovative South African. But what is it in the culture there, you think, that also breeds creative thinking and innovation?
There is, there's actually an expression in South Africa, in Afrikaans, which is a boer maak 'n plan, which the direct translation of it is a farmer makes a plan. And I think that's so much of the mindset of South Africans. Everyone always makes a plan. Everyone always pushes through. And I think that's, again, like politically true of the country. And, but, you know, we came from a really bad place and people pushed through. There's challenges even now in the country and everyone pushes through. There's this constant desire to keep on. It's like, just because it is what it is now doesn't mean that's what it has to be moving forward. And so make a plan, always make a plan, push on through.
And speaking of making a plan, you've pushed your way through from being creative in various agencies, creative director at Meta, and you're now global head of creative at Roblox. Just for our listeners, what is Roblox and what does the global head of Roblox do?
So Roblox is a platform for connection and communication. For the hugest part, you will find a bunch of experiences and games on the platform. It's also a place that you can go and experience music. You can go into various brand experiences and wander around stores. You can also go there and hang out with your friends. So that's what Roblox is, in short. Now I'm already forgetting what the second part of the question was.
What do you do?
Oh, what do I do? Well, yes, that's an important part of that question. So I am the global head of creative. And essentially what we are is a small ragtag bunch of creative folks inside of a enormous engineering company. And we are like a small, I guess the closest comparison is like a small agency inside of an engineering company. We create all of the marketing materials across the board for anything to do with Roblox. And we do that sometimes with agencies, but for the most part, we're the crazy ragtag crew who are making everything that is needed.
And as Adam said, you've worked in some, you know, really creative places, Wieden and Kennedy, you know, Huntless Scars, where you started, and you know, then you found yourself at Meta. How creative does it feel at Roblox? You said a few times there you're surrounded by engineers who, you know, they're creative in their own way, but we wouldn't say they're the most creative. But does it feel like a really creative place? Does it feel like a culture that is, you know, really creative?
It's wildly creative, and I would actually say engineers are actually creative, not in a way that is traditional as we know it, because they're constantly thinking about how they can make things and solve problems and understand the people that they are making things for. So there's an enormous amount of creativity. And then Roblox actually doesn't make any of its own experiences. So that's all made by developers. And I would say that developer community is one of the most creative communities that I've ever come across. They're storytellers and they're making things that look wildly different and beautiful. It's a very, very creative community. Fashion and expression is huge in that community as well. And I would say I probably found the same thing at Meta, where whilst it's largely an engineering company, there is you're surrounded by things that I think are fascinating from a creative perspective, but it's a different kind of creativity.
And is it that sort of desire to make things that's interesting about working in these sort of engineering cultures? Because ultimately they're making stuff, right? They're makers and they're building things. And so as a creative, is that sort of really inspiring to be in that sort of culture?
Yeah, it's funny. I never actually thought about it before, but I think I feel like all creative people are miserable if they're not making things.
Yep.
And I think that's maybe what I think is interesting about the tech world in general is people have crazy ideas and then they go and make them. And there's maybe, perhaps that's what, where some of the sort of dual simpatico is between these tech startups and creative folks.
Well, I don't know if it is simpatico. I reckon there's a lot of creative agencies where creatives don't get to make anything for years. And I think that's what burns them out, where their lead times are so long and so many projects fall over. at our agency, we're really prolific in terms of our output. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, we just promise our creative people, you're going to make stuff here. You're going to make more stuff here in 6 months than you are in 5 years at other places. And I think that's quite motivating. So I really like that thought.
Yeah.
And I function much more as a very, I'm a traditional creative director, and I'm creative directing a team of creative folks who still have to find their way through creative ideas and figure out how to represent a brand just the same way as we would inside of an agency.
And so when you're doing that with your bunch of creatives in the within the system, is it do you have art directors and copywriters together, or do you have interactive people in that environment, or is it purely narrative storytelling that you're creating?
We have writers, art directors, designers. We have somebody who's very versed within the 3D immersive space, because the way we want to represent the platform, immersion is a huge part of the platform. So it's important that all of the work that we create for the platform is representative of that. We have editors and producers. So it's pretty close to an advertising-like agency setup. Just with a small agency inside of an engineering company.
And when you said you don't do a Super Bowl, you don't have a Super Bowl ad, what's your equivalent? Like, what's the most epic piece of content you're trying to create?
Honestly, that varies from time to time. Sometimes I would say probably the biggest thing that we're ever trying to create for is our big Roblox Developers Conference, like wowing some of the most creative people in the world with some of the most creative things that you can is probably one of our big highlights. I think our social channels for a community that lives deeply inside of TikTok, creating there is incredibly important. I don't think that we'll ever completely write off being in the Super Bowl, but whatever feels right for the brand and the community at that moment in time, we'll see, maybe one day.
And for you, what, you know, being inside and being a creative versus being outside an agency, you know, what's the major difference and the major benefits?
You know, one of the biggest reasons why I left agencies to switch over to working inside of a brand was I became frustrated as a creative person inside of an agency with the broken telephone. Sometimes I felt like there were so many processes, both from an agency perspective and then from the client's perspective, that I would frequently go into meetings and I would know within 5 minutes that whilst we had the most amazing work, that it wasn't the work that was right, because there were so many people who'd picked up the phone in between, and we designed strategy on top of ideas, on top of what we thought the brand was. And I wanted to get closer to the people who were thinking about the brand closer, so working really closely with CMOs and then also working with the people who are making the product, because then you know what's possible. I would find myself in an agency going, well, maybe if the engineers could do this to the product, we could do this thing. And you would get this look like, what are you even talking about? That's, you know, that would, there's no way that's going to happen. It was the back of the deck ideas, right? Mm. Whereas now, being close to those engineers, you can literally wander over and go, could we ever change this inside of the product? Is this possible? And they'll tell you quickly, oh, good heavens, no, that'll take like a year of coding and we don't have all of the people who can do that. Or they can say to you, absolutely, we can do that and we can do this. So I liked that. I like that I am closer to the people who are thinking about the brand, closer to the people who frequently have actually built the brand themselves or thought of the idea in the first place. And then you know what's possible inside of the product because you're right there.
So does it feel more liberating being on the inside?
There's so much possibility, absolutely. Because you can fundamentally change what's happening on or inside of a product. So those ideas that are at the back of the deck that seem crazy suddenly become the ideas that are at the front of your deck.
And do you think you also can have more influence over whether those back of the deck ideas, as you call them, live or die, whether they are, you know, can you protect them more? Do you find like being on the inside, you have a high level of influence?
I would say yes and no. I think selling through creative ideas is difficult no matter what.
Yeah.
So whether you're an amazing agency selling amazing ideas or you're amazing creative folks inside of a company, convincing people to do things that are different and brave and not what they thought of is always a difficult endeavor.
You mentioned something interesting before. You spoke about the developers being, the developing community creates all the worlds. If I put that into the words of my 11-year-old son, he'll say, in Roblox Studio, you get to create your own worlds and invite other people in and you publish them and all that kind of stuff. So he wouldn't be talking about developers, just saying people in general would be doing that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Everyone, creative, the Roblox Studio itself, you can go in there and figure out how to make whatever it is you want to. And it's the more the technology develops, the easier and easier it becomes in order to make really great experiences.
And that's really interesting, right? Just letting everybody create these worlds, and then they can monetize their own creations as well. Is that right? And they can get Robux and make money out of the worlds they develop by the more people who go into them. Can they make real money out of it?
We have a thriving economy, and it's a huge part of Roblox in general is to build a thriving economy. And there are multiple ways that you can make money. It's both in developing actual experiences. There are also amazing creators who are thriving and making beautiful fashion, beautiful and crazy avatars. And then there's a whole other world of folks who are, you know, YouTubers who are spending time digging into those experiences and have whole communities who are following them. So there is a whole other economy that exists that I almost didn't even know about when I first went to even talk with Roblox. It's absolutely fascinating.
I reckon what's really fascinating is how big and how popular Roblox is, but yet most of our listeners, I reckon, won't know that much about it. And if I just mention it, that just recently, over the last few years, you've had partnerships with people like Elton John, with brands like Nike Airs, with Gucci did one of the first, NASA celebrated their 50 years, Netflix Stranger Things, Lush Bath Bombs, blah, blah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So lots of brands get involved, create their own worlds and so on. And yet it doesn't feel, and you never hear about it in marketing, and it feels like it's a bit othered, it's a bit over there, and it feels like quite a disconnect from the mainstream marketing community. Do you agree? And if so, why?
It's interesting because I feel like I'm right in the middle of it, and I feel like people who know Roblox, we also have a community of, I think we closed out the year with about 70 million daily active users. So there is a whole community of people who are deeply immersed in Roblox. In terms of pure marketing, we actually don't dig deep into, we don't advertise Roblox. You know, it's not like we're on the Super Bowl with this is what Roblox is. What we're spending a lot of time doing is actually thinking about ways of best serving the larger Roblox community. And that's not, it's tricky because we're not doing pure advertising. This, we don't need to tell this audience about Roblox itself, but what we do need to do is foster that sense of community and not show up as a brand going, this is who we are and this is what we do.
You've got the 70 million daily users. Every other marketer I know, you know, we're all struggling for growth and how do we get growth? So What is it? What is the number one job of you and your marketing team that you need to deliver for Roblox?
There's so many things that we touch. We do all of the Roblox social channels, which is talking directly to our community, staying in touch with all of them. We also have big events like our Roblox Developers Conference, and there we do everything from top to tail in terms of like anything that needs a creative touch to it. From every year we release a big hype film, all of the design that goes with that. We do an enormous award show and all of the writing and design that goes with that. And then occasionally we'll do things that are very particular to the business. So there will still be needs for film or needs for maybe sort of more traditional type advertising. But we span this mad gamut. And then Roblox is also, whilst it's been around for a really long time, we're also building a brand. And so we're slowly but surely starting to build a graphic language for the brand and a typeface and all of those things that will, you know, slowly but surely, I suppose, make it more recognizable to folks.
You should, it'll be nice for you to open source your brand book and get your developer community to co-create that. Just in keeping with,
I feel like brand books are already way too much drama. There's no way that I would ever open source it.
It's not gonna. Yeah. Okay. Fair
Thanks
enough.
Thanks for the tip, but good God, no.
But on that point of co-creation with your community, I mean, they are largely under 15. So how do you and your team make sure that you really understand, you know, what they're into versus, you know, You're fully grown adults like us. I mean, how do you really stay in touch with that new generation of kids who are so different, right, to the way we grew up and the way we interact with brands and the way we, you know, what we expected from experiences? So how do you make sure you really stay super in touch with sort of what they're into?
Well, the first thing I'll say is Roblox is increasingly appealing to an older and older audience.
Right.
And it's probably one of the sectors that we see growing more and more is our kind of edging over towards the 18 to 20-ish. And, you know, that's so that in itself is really interesting. I think I would say that whether I worked at Roblox or not, it is incredibly important that you stay aware as a creative person of the generations that are coming up in the world. Because for as long as I can recall, every single generation has had a profound effect on creativity. And everything that has influenced creativity at any given moment in time. So I think it's your duty as a creative person to always be looking at the generations that are the most in touch with the latest mediums. It's important that you stay in touch with who's listening to what, what people are watching. So I expect that of my creative team. I expect it of myself. And I think it's just something that's been important for as long as, it's so often that the up and coming generation is sitting with a huge unlock of a whole new creative world.
I just to give you a quick example of what you're talking about, I was again speaking to my 11-year-old and I was watching him play Fortnite, block your ears because we're talking about Roblox, but and his avatar was a female, and then I noticed that all the other avatars that they were playing with were all female. Any guesses why?
I'll let the two of you guess.
So I asked him why, and he said because they've got smaller body mass, so the female avatars are smaller, so they're but equally as strong, but therefore they're less likely to get shot.
So it's a super practical. I thought it was going to be something about self-expression.
Exactly.
Or,
but isn't that fascinating that they've worked out that they choose the smaller body mass avatars? But then I've learned all about avatars basically through him and this whole role that self-expression plays and so forth. And being able to express yourself
online.
Did you
spend more time talking to your son's avatar or your son?
No, so I've learnt about all of this from my son's avatar.
Okay.
I don't ever talk directly to my son. But it's a really weird thing we've got going on with me and her. No. What do you reckon? What's driving this? Is it just marketing? It's just the fact that they can spend money on these avatars? Or do you think there's some kind of psychological role that their avatars are playing in their lives?
It's definitely not marketing. I think that avatars do play an enormous part in self-expression. You can go and be things that you cannot be in your regular life, or you can amplify what it is in your regular life. You know, I've heard, and this is not particular to Roblox, but I've heard things like, I really love the color purple, but I can't make everything in my life purple because I live with someone else, or I can't afford to change all of those things. But when I go into a world like Roblox, I can make absolutely everything purple. I've heard people wanting to express themselves in other genders. I've heard them wanting to express themselves with other kinds of fashion. That they may not be bold enough to wear. You know, we revert to black T-shirts. On Roblox, you can find whole other ways of expressing yourself. So I don't think it has absolutely anything to do with marketing whatsoever. I think it's a deeply personal way of people being able to express themselves.
The fact that you can buy, like, the first Gucci handbag for an avatar, I think, sold for like 750,000 Robux, which is $5,000 roughly. This is years ago.
So it's cheaper than a real Gucci bag.
I was just going to say, as somebody who spends a lot of time looking at how much handbags cost, it's still cheaper than a bag, than one in real life. And it's something that you can keep for an extended period of time. And it becomes a continuous source of expression.
Does it have a resale value?
There are resale values to things as well, yeah.
Yeah, right. So you can actually just keep the economy going without burning up stuff. That's really interesting. But what I was going to say was, it kind of feels like it must be marketing driven, because there are so many different ways to pick a different avatar that expresses who you want to be or who you can't express in real life. But then there's a real need for that. That then marketers are kind of amplifying that by giving lots and lots of different options of lots and lots of different things to buy, because then that stimulates that whole marketplace, if you like. So if it's not marketing driven, it's certainly marketing amplified.
It's certainly marketing amplified. You're right about that. I think equally, though, you could go on a platform like Roblox and dress yourself without having to buy things from brands. You could also be dressing and expressing yourself with items that are created by various creators that would get you by and allow you to do whatever it is you want to do.
When it comes to you being creative at Roblox, do you have a different process to what you do when you're making an ad at Wyden Kennedy or, you know, at other places, or are you still just the same type of creative with the same type of creative process?
Honestly, I think it's all the same. I think the challenges of the creative process exist no matter which side of the fence, which client, you know, whether you're inside a brand, outside of a brand, it's all exactly the same. And I'd say my process has been the same for as long as I've been in working as a creative person. I think you always need to know who it is that you're talking to. You always need to know the environment that you're functioning inside of. And I feel like you always just have to pick up all the rocks and look underneath them and see what ideas are there and find your ideas.
And you're working in a tech company, and previously in Meta as well. How much does technology play a role in that creative process, or is it still kind of pretty analog, you with a pencil and a pad starting there for an idea? I mean, you know, how much has tech infused your creative process?
I think an idea is still an idea. I think the when people become obsessed with the technology, then forget where the idea is inside of the technology, that's where creativity starts to fail for me. I feel like our mediums keep on changing. So if you go back to, I remember somebody telling me once when the camera first came out, it was, the technologists of the time who were obsessed with cameras, but it was creative people who made photography creative. And equally, you know, radio came along and we said, this is amazing. You can transmit to people, but it was creative people who started to find the medium of listening and storytelling. And the same thing happened with television. And I feel like we're discovering the same thing with social media, and we're discovering the same thing with social platforms, and with so many of the gaming platforms that are around. The technology is the base of something, and then creative folks always come and start to go, well, what can I do with this thing? How can I push it? What can I make in here? And that's when they start to become really, really exciting.
Yeah, I like how you just said, you know, what can I do in here? What buttons can I push, and so on? That to me feels the same, like the same kind of creative process. But if I think about marketing growing up in a kind of a passive marketing communications landscape where we relied on storytelling and narratives and what we want to say and how do we want to make people feel, that feels like the main marketing paradigm of advertisers and marketers. In your environment, it's kind of, what can we get the person to do? Where can we get them to walk to? What can we get them to explore? What Gucci handbag can we get them to try? So it's less about what we want to say and more about what are we getting people to do. And I'm wondering if there's a fundamental difference of creativity between those two things.
I feel like you're still wanting people to feel something. The formats change all of the time. So if I go back to when I first created a television ad, and then you go, okay, so what's this? What is this format? How long does it need to be? What can I play with? How much money do I have to do this with? Now you're going into an experience and you're going, what's this format? What story can I tell about what this brand is? What can I make people feel about this brand? And ultimately, yes, that's going to drive a purchase just the same way as an ad for a Gap t-shirt could drive a purchase. You could go into a Gap experience and drive a purchase, but there's still story and wonder and all kinds of things that you want people to go through before you just say, okay, buy something.
But just to push this a little bit, the difference there is with the Gap t-shirt, you're not really interested in the end sale. You're interested in the emotion and the connection, and then the sale will come. You're not there to say, right, and here's a coupon and go buy it now kind of thing. But in the immersive experience, you are trying to get somebody to do something and interact there and then immediately. And I'm just again wondering, is that a different skill set? Is that a different skill set to narrative storytelling, where you have to try to make yourself think of, how does this person interact with what I'm saying? How do I get this person to do something in this immersive environment? But you would say no.
I feel like I'm being really combative, but I feel like in advertising, you're still, for the most part, even when you're just doing, let me tell you about this brand, it's always in the hopes of ultimately having somebody purchase something or be a part of that, a believer or a loyalist or a fan of that brand. And I feel like that's much the same as when you go into an experience, and probably even more important, because if you want somebody to spend some real time wandering an entire world and going through multiple challenges, it's even more important that you make and create things that are beautiful, that are great storytelling, that make people want to spend a lot of time with the brand. And I think all of that also translates, maybe it translates to a purchase, but maybe it just translates to somebody being a fan of your brand for a longer period of time.
One of my favorite professors I've ever come across is a guy called Professor Von Hippel. And the reason why I like him is I think almost purely because of his name. But
I was going to say that I feel like that's made up.
Yeah. But he was kind of like the first, one of the leading experts in end user innovation. And he kind of encouraged everybody or every marketer to just have a look at how people are innovating with their brand on the fringes. And then the marketer's job was to try to find out how they're innovating, what they're doing, and bring it back into head office, if you like, and then push that back out into the community, so to speak. And it feels like so Lego does it a little bit with Lego ideas and that kind of thing, but it just feels like that is actually your business model. Your business model is kind of us open sourcing the whole creativity, letting everyone kind of have a play, create their own stuff, spread their own stuff. And you go, and it's almost like head office is just kind of needing to hold on. Would that be right?
You're asking the question of, do we hold tight onto the brand so that there's a larger, so that the community can create as they need to?
Yeah. And do you see your job as just trying to push open the world of Roblox as much as possible for your users to create it, and almost keep head office, if you like, being metaphorical, as small as possible, because it's all about the developers and it's all about people who create?
I would say definitely what our creative community is incredibly important. And Roblox as a brand is not an agenda that we are actively pushing, because we feel like it belongs largely to the community.
Love it. That's a much more eloquent answer than the question deserved. Hey, one of the things we do every episode is put our guests' work to what we call the pub test, which is basically having a look at the legitimacy and creativity of their work, subject to just regular punters in a pub. What we've done in this case is put Roblox and one of your kind of the viral videos to the pub test, and just getting people's responses to the concept of Roblox in general. Let's just have a listen to what they've said in the pub test, and then we'll come back and have a quick chat about it.
I've heard about Roblox, but seems pretty fun. Kind of makes me want to play it.
Kind of got it a little bit. It's like, you can do whatever you want, really.
Yeah.
You might see or hear someone mention a new game coming out, but I'll never really take their word for it. I need to see the game, like trailer, see what some club would play.
No, I don't watch any video game trailers.
I guess, yeah, some people understand this a bit better. It feels like a bit of a generational thing. I've heard about Roblox seems very Gen Z, Gen Alpha to me, so maybe I'm just getting a bit old.
I've never played Roblox, but I've seen stuff about it, so I get a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know Roblox, and I don't play many games.
I do know what Roblox is because my kids play it, but I didn't realise that there was this much scope to what they could be playing.
Something I haven't played before, so maybe there's things, those classic like Easter eggs that I've missed, or they just don't make sense to me.
If there are ads playing in Roblox, I guess, you know, I might try not to pay attention to them, but I guess we all know that subconsciously they're always going to get in there somehow.
Would I pay attention to the ad? I'd probably stop playing the video game, honestly.
If there were ads in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like YouTube videos. As soon as an ad turns up, I kind of just lose interest and I stop watching the video.
I think it would interrupt the imagination of the experience.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting. I think this one passes the pub test. Yeah, it looks like a pretty epic production.
I mean, I think it's pretty cool.
I'd say no.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it does.
So passing the pub test, just any thoughts, anything strike you from their responses?
I think what's pretty common is that there are many folks of a particular generation that are still understanding what Roblox is. So I find myself frequently, people say, oh, what do you do or where do you work? And I'll say Roblox, and you either get an instant recognition frequently with parents saying, can you get my kids Robux? Which I always say, no, I'm sorry, I cannot. I get this, what is a roadblock? I don't understand what that is. So that's pretty common. I do think that will slowly change over time.
What struck me about their responses was how adverse they were to advertising in that medium. And when you try to advertise in a medium that you're there on your own free will for, and you can control advertising, people will just reject it. They want to have a better value exchange than that, rather just having an ad forced on them. And I reckon that's, again, really interesting as a higher benchmark of creativity for marketers.
I do think that advertising inside of Roblox will be a unique experience in that it allows for more immersive interactions with brands rather than just pure go to this thing and do this thing, and there is choice that is associated with that.
Yeah, I mean, do your engineers look at YouTube and think the ads have ruined it? Obviously, there's going to be a big opportunity at some point for Roblox to think about how it advertises on its platform. What do you think is the most important thing that Roblox would need to do to protect that beautiful community and protect that beautiful experience?
I think allowing the community to come first, and that's one of our big company values. I experienced the same thing when I was working at Meta, that pushing yourself in as a brand and putting the brand's agenda ahead of anything else, that's never going to work.
Yeah.
But allowing space for the community to have its voice. And I think that's true of any creative, any brand that has a huge community. You want to make sure that community feels like they are being represented, or let them do the work themselves rather than forcing your own agenda.
Yeah.
And Brent, I don't know if you realise the irony of your question, but Sue actually created an ad for Turkish Airlines, which was YouTube's ad of the decade a few years ago as well, which is kind of ironic. Hey, I reckon we might have to wrap it up there. So I'm one of those people who knows Roblox very well through my children, and they've loved it, and we've loved creating things in studio and so forth, and it's been a very positive, fun experience for us. They were very, very excited that I was going to get to talk to you today. And I just want to say thank you very much for your time and insight. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sue.
Cheers, Sue.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time. Cheers, cheers. Bye.
Well, that was an interesting chat, wasn't it, Adam?
Yeah, I think so. I reckon what was fascinating for me was her environment has changed so massively from working in a small agency in South Africa and then to, you know, a few agencies in America. She's now the head of creative in a massive tech company, and yet her creative process, both for herself and how she's structured her creative environment, is pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah, I think it speaks to fundamentals, right? Like the fundamentals of an idea, the fundamentals of creativity, you know, are the same no matter what medium, what format, what channel you're ultimately executing in.
Yeah, or the powers of tradition are really, really deep, and it's really hard to do anything other than that. Like, it works, you know what I mean? It's a good creative process, and you kind of lift and
but I don't know if I
place.
Got I don't know if I got the vibe of powers of tradition. Like I felt like there was real curiosity there, a real love for the community, that she works for. You know what I mean? It didn't feel traditional.
No, it didn't. But what I was trying to say was the creative process in agencies kind of works. It works really, really well. And so you can lift and insert into one of the largest tech companies in the world, and you've still got a very well working kind of machine if it's not broke, et cetera. So I found that fascinating, that it's a very, very similar process in a completely different environment.
Yeah, for sure. And I think she spoke to what I certainly feel since I've gone inside and become a CMO, and that is just
power.
The closest to the business, 100%, the ability to have a lot of influence, but mainly, you know, the liberation of being able to make decisions. I think that's what.
I thought it was a weird question when you asked that about liberation, but she's not saying liberation. But then she responded really well to that. It's exactly what she was trying to say. There is a sense of I'm free, which I've never really kind of thought of.
Yeah, so there you have it. Sue Anderson, Head of Creative at Roblox. Really interesting guest. And thanks for joining us for today's podcast.
Bye.